Morning. Open your Bibles back to John 14. Vishal Maglawati, a Christian scholar from India, shared the following story about visiting America. Now, I want you to listen closely to this. In November 2011, I visited two classes at Christian University in North America. I asked both classes how many of you would still believe Christianity if you found out tomorrow that Christianity was not true. That is, God never became man, Jesus did not die for our sins, or that he did not rise from the dead. 12 hands went up in the class of about 25 students. These sincere and devout students had grown up in Christian homes, gone to church all of their lives, and studied in Christian schools. Some had been in the Christian university for 3 years. They respected their elders who taught them that Christianity was all about faith with little concern for truth. Christianity lost America because 20th century evangelism branded itself as the party of faith. Secularism, science, university, media became the party of truth. This is one reason why 70% of Christian youth give up meaningful involvement with the church when they grow up. Secularism acquired the truth brand by default because evangelism began defining the church's mission as just cultivating faith, not also promoting knowledge of truth. This man that took this survey and that talked to these college students had this opinion of America, that secularism has taken over and belief in God has gone to the wayside. That's what he found. Now, we are definitely a church of faith. It is fundamental and foundational to become a Christian, but our faith is based upon the truth of the Word of God. Without the truth, there is nothing to base faith on. As we saw last week, Jesus is the way. He's the way to heaven. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to our spiritual blessings. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, open your Bibles, as I said, to John 14. If you'll stand, we will read verses 1 through 6 again this week. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word you give me today. We ask you, Lord, that you would implant it into the hearts of here, those that are here this morning, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, as we teach today on the truth, that you are the truth of all creation. You are the truth of the Word of God. You are the truth of our creation, that we worship you and you alone in this life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you, Lord, for those that came out this morning. We thank you, Lord, for those that could not come for whatever reason. We pray for them this morning. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
So how is Jesus the truth? That's what we're going to talk about this week, and we're going to discuss this week. How is Jesus the truth? Well, first of all, Jesus is the true light. Jesus came into the world to be the true light. Barry Davis's 84-year-old mother just had cataract surgery. Barry said this, when she came to get in the car, only an hour after her surgery was completed, she asked me, "When did you grow a beard?" I said, 4 years ago. That's when we fully realized how bad her vision had gotten. We could say something similar about the vision of all those who have not accepted the truth, Jesus Christ. They are blinded by Satan. They don't know the truth of the Word of God. Listen, a lost person is incapable of knowing the truth of the Word of God. Why? Because Scripture is spiritually discerned. They cannot understand what they're reading. Satan is blinding their mind to the truth of the Word of God. Listen, some have never seen Christ at all of this passage that we're talking about today. We could say that the truth is Jesus Christ. And some, though we have never seen Jesus, we know that He is the true life. Until we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, we will not be able to see the world around us clearly because we're walking around in darkness. Jesus made this statement, "I have came to give you light. I have came to give you light in your hearts. I have came to give you light in your soul." And if you're not a Christian and you don't have me as your Savior, you're walking in darkness. People that are not saved are walking in darkness. John chapter 1:1-4 reads this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus came to give us light. Jesus came to give every Christian the light of the gospel. He is the true light that shines in our heart, that goes out to the world. He is the true light that shines in our soul so that we may see clearly, so that we may see Him clearly, so that we may see the Word clearly, so that we may understand the Word clearly. Jesus shines the light of truth upon everyone who encounters Him and is willing to hear what He has to say. When people do listen, there are three possible reactions to the light. We run to the light of Christ and embrace it. That's what we have all done today. We ran to the light and we embraced it. Secondly, people hide from the light because it is exposing their sin. Yeah. Jesus made that very clear in John. If you'll turn your Bibles back to John chapter 3, I want to show you what Jesus is referring to. John chapter 3. Look in verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and that's talking about Jesus, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So these are the people that don't come to the light because their sins are exposed. And a lot of lost people won't come to the light. Why is that? Because they don't want Christ to reveal the sin in them. They don't want to give up that sin, and they don't want Christ to know about the sin in their life, even though he knows all things. The third thing we could do, we see the light and are attracted to it, but decide to wait until a later time to do anything about it. And there's a lot of people that do this. A lot of people see the light, they recognize the light, but they don't come to the light. They say this. They say, I'll wait for a more appropriate time. I'll wait till I get my life together. I'll wait till I'm more spiritual. Listen, my friend, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God before we come to Christ. We cannot clean ourselves up. We cannot be the perfect person. We cannot erase all the sin in our life before we come to Jesus. It is impossible for us to make ourselves better. It is impossible to make ourselves more holy. It is impossible for us to make ourselves more acceptable to God unless we accept Jesus Christ and accept the light that he offers. Of course, none of us are guaranteed that there will be another opportunity to accept the light. None of us are promised another minute here on earth. For those who did not accept the truth of Christ, they begin to see the world in a whole new way. Their purpose and drive are transformed. Each day becomes another adventure into the Christ life. John chapter 8. Turn over to there. John chapter 8. This is what Jesus said. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Notice what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. Listen, Satan is darkness. Satan will lead you down a dark path if you follow him. Jesus will lead you down a path that's full of light so that you can know the Word of God, so that you can worship him, and so that you can be a better Christian. Satan will lead you astray. Listen, my friend, when we put our trust in Jesus, his life becomes our life. His light shines in our darkness, and we are set free from the bondage of sin. As we grow in our spiritual relationship with him, we are transformed in his likeness and empowered to live lives that glorify him. We become agents of his love and grace, bringing hope and healing to a broken world. Because Jesus is life and light, those who follow him can expect to experience life to its fullest and be shining examples of his love. If you have the light of Christ in your life, you're going to want to share it. If you have the light of Christ in your life, you're going to want to tell other people about Jesus. If you have the light of Christ in your life, you're going to want to show that light to everybody that you come in contact with. Amen. You're not going to put that light under a bushel. You're not going to hide that light under a bushel. You're going to let it show and let everyone see that you're a Christian. You're going to want to let everyone know that you love Jesus. Secondly, Jesus is the true bread that came down from heaven. Many people in the world look to different things for true meaning in life. Some believe that money is the root of all happiness, while others believe that power is the key to fulfilling life. But Jesus tells us that neither of these things is what we need to sustain us in life and the next. What we all need is the true bread from heaven. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And look in verses 32 and 33. Then said Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Listen, true bread from heaven is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. This true bread is Jesus Christ. He alone has the power to give us eternal life and true meaning in our lives today. When we place our faith in him, we are guaranteed a seat at his table in heaven. Our hunger for this true bread is foundational to our living the Christian life. We must be attracted to it and accept it into our lives. Arthur Frederico Mathis Green addressed people who hunger for God's presence but rarely find it, at least not in dramatic ways. She writes this, My hunch is that you are already sensing something of God's presence or you wouldn't care. Picture yourself walking around a shopping mall, looking at people at the window displays. Suddenly, you get a whiff of cinnamon. You weren't even hungry, but now you really crave a cinnamon roll. This craving isn't something you made up. There you were, minding your own business, when some drifting molecules of sugar, butter, and spice collided with the susceptible patch inside your nose. You had a real encounter with cinnamon, not a mental delusion, not an emotional projection, but the real thing. And what was the effect? You wanted more. Listen, if we hunger to know the presence of God, it's because you've already begun to sense God's compelling delight. This is the hunger we feel for the true bread, Jesus Christ. And only coming to him will bring satisfaction into our souls. Only by coming to the true bread will our souls be fully satisfied. When we eat that bread of life, when we have that bread of life in our hearts and in our soul, we will be completely filled. We'll not be wanting for anything. Jesus gives that bread to nourish us, to fill us, and to satisfy our every longing. You can't find that in money. You can't find that in houses. You can't find that in cars. You can't find that satisfaction anywhere but the true bread of heaven. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy you. Thirdly, Jesus is the true vine. Look in John 15. Turn your Bibles to John 15. Jesus is the true vine. John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth it, that they may bring forth more fruit. Now anyone who has ever tried to grow a grapevine knows that they are fickle plants. They require a great deal of care and attention, and even then, they often fail to produce a good crop of grapes. Me and my mother, when she was alive, she growed many grapevines. She had a whole fence row that she planted grapes in, and they ran up this fence, and they wrapped around that fence, and grapes would dangle from them. But many years, they would not produce fruit. She planted some that didn't produce fruit at all. Why? Because she didn't read her farmer's almanac. If you read your farmer's almanac, it'll tell you exactly when to plant stuff. If you don't read it, they may produce little bitty grapes, but they'll never produce great grapes for eating. My mother found this out. She planted some at one time and some at another. She could see the ones she planted at the right times because they produced great grapes for making jams, for making grape juice, for making all kinds of things that she made. But these that she planted at the wrong times put flowers out on the bloom, but they never produced grapes. They never produced grapes that you could do anything with. That is the way lost people are. And that is the way some Christians are. They bear no fruit. They don't get out and do what they are supposed to do. They don't get out and witness. They don't tell people about Jesus. They don't do anything to build the kingdom of God. What are they like? They're like this grape, this plant that my mother planted at the wrong time. They produce no fruit. They produce nothing. If you don't tell people about Jesus, if you're not out there spreading the gospel, if you're not telling people about His love and His mercy and about the things He's done in your life, then you are not producing fruit. Jesus said that if you bring forth fruit, He'll purge it and it will bring forth more fruit. But notice what He says in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does He do? He takes it away. Now, does that mean He's going to take your salvation away? No. It means He's going to take your gift of soul winning and give it to somebody else. It means He's going to take your ability to witness to somebody else. He's going to take that away from you. He's going to take all of the spiritual blessing. Do you realize how it makes you feel when you win somebody to the Lord? It's a feeling like you'll never experience any time else in history. It is a feeling that you've helped bring someone to salvation and that you've helped someone escape the devil's hell. It is a feeling like you'll never experience. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. Listen, we win souls because we want to see more people coming into the kingdom. We want to see more people finding Jesus. We witness because we want to see more people coming in to the fellowship of our church. Amen. But many people don't ever do that. These are these people that He takes away. Anyone that has ever tried to grow a grapevine knows what I'm talking about. In our text, Jesus compares Himself to the grapevine and His Father to the vine dresser. Just as the vine dresser carefully prunes away dead branches, God prunes away our unproductive thoughts and actions. This may not always be easy to bear, but it is essential for bearing fruit. Without pruning, a grapevine will produce fewer and smaller grapes. In the same way, if we want our lives to bear fruit for God's kingdom, we must allow Him to prune away everything that is holding us back. A Christian can bear fruit for God by maturing in their faith and sharing the gospel with others. As we grow in our relationship with God, we become more like Jesus and are better equipped to serve Him. This maturity is evident in the way we live our lives and interact with others. We become more patient, more kind, more self-controlled, and are able to handle difficult situations with the grace that God gives us. In addition, we are constantly seeking ways to share the love of Christ with those around us. We may do this through one-on-one conversations, leading Bible studies, or serving in our community. Whatever the method, evangelism and maturity are essential parts of bearing fruit for God. In all this, we must continue our dependence on the true vine, Jesus Christ. We must lean on Him for strength, guidance, and support. There's going to never be a point in our lives that we don't need Christ, our true vine, to cling to. There's never going to come a time in our life when we don't need that vine that we are branches off of, that feeds us, that nourishes us, that helps us complete the task that God has given us to do. Can you imagine what would happen if you took a grapevine and pulled it off the main root? Can you imagine what would happen? It would die. That's what happens when we're disconnected from the vine. When we're disconnected from Christ, when we have sin in our life that's unconfessed, when we have these things in our life that are getting in our way of our worship of Him and our service to Him, we are withering away. We wither away and we fall away from being soul winners. We must confess our sins every day. We must keep our life pure. We must trust God to work in our lives. Fourthly, Jesus is the true God. I'll give you a minute to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, because there's a very important passage there I want you to read, and I want you to think about this for just a minute. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, look in verses 12 through 15. Colossians chapter 1. I still hear Bibles turning. I'll wait till you get there. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us met to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Christ is the image of God. He came into this world. Do you realize what Emmanuel means? Emmanuel means God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. Jesus came. Our Emmanuel, He came into this world to reveal God to us, to show us God, to reveal God in our lives, to show us all that God could bring to us. That, my friend, Jesus is the true God. 1 John 5:20 says this, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. In this passage in 1 John chapter 5, it tells us that Jesus is the true God. He is God in the flesh. He came to this earth as God in the flesh. 100% God and 100% man. He came to give his life a ransom. He came to live in this life as a sacrifice for all of us that needed him. Jesus was the true light that came to live in our life. Jesus was and is the audible, visible Word who expressed the heart of the inalienable, invisible God. Jesus Christ is God's great visual aid. Origen, in the 3rd century, had a great analogy. He told a village with a huge statue, so immense you could see exactly what it was supposed to represent. Finally, someone miniaturized the statue so one could see the person it honored. Origen said this, "That is what God did in his Son." Paul tells us in Colossians 1:15 that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In Christ, we have God in a compulsory way and a comprehensible way. In Christ, we have God's own personal and definite visit to the planet Earth. The true God came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. While Origen's analogy is helpful, we need to be careful that we do not equate Jesus with being somehow less than fully God. Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time. He was not half God and half man. He is in no way less than fully 100% God in human flesh. When we commit our lives to the truth, Jesus Christ, we are committing ourselves to the God of creation, the God of salvation, the God of pure and undefiled love. When we are inviting Him ourselves into relationship with Jesus Christ, you are being called into relationship with God present in your life and the God that is presented in Scripture. You're inviting God into your life. You're inviting the Holy Spirit into your life. And you're inviting Jesus into your life. They are the one that came to this world. They are the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one in essence, one in unity, and one in being. They are God in the flesh that came to this earth to go to the cross to die for your sin and my sin. They are the God that came and gave his life so that we might be free from the sin and the death that this world brings. Listen, my friend, God came to this earth, left heaven, came to this earth so that you might have eternal life. He came to this earth so that you might have the light in your life, so that you might know the true God, so that you might know God the Father. He came to give us the true bread from heaven. He came so that we might have the light in our life, so that we might shed it out to all the people in this world. Christ gave us this light, not to set it under a bushel or hide it so that people can't see it. He gave us this light to shine brightly to the world. He gave us this light so we might know the true and living God. Jesus gave us this light so that we might be a better Christian. In conclusion, in a world where there are so many options and opinions, it can be hard to know who or what to believe. But Jesus tells us that He is the truth. He is the truth of God. He is the truth light. He is the true bread from heaven. Jesus is the truth in fullness in every single way. We can trust that when God's Word tells us something, it is the truth of the Word of God. We can be assured that the scripture is true because it was God inspired, given to man, and man wrote it down. This word that we take in our lives today, listen very carefully to me, my friend. This word is not just a book. I get emails all the time from my website saying, that's just a book. It's not just a book. It's God's revelation from Genesis to Revelation. It is the story of Christ all the way through it. It is the story of Christ from Genesis to Revelation. It reveals God to us. It teaches us how to live. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ found in these pages that only God has placed in there. Listen, my friend. Jesus tells us He's the truth. If you're not sure where to begin your journey with Christ, start by reading the Bible and keep attending the church. Take some time to pray. Ask God to reveal Himself to you. As you seek Him, He will surely make Himself known to you in ways that will change your life forever. Are you ready to follow the truth of Jesus Christ today? If you're ready, Christ is ready to reveal that light to you. You will no longer walk in darkness. You'll have the light of Jesus so that you can walk the path of righteousness, so that you can serve Him, so that you can find the true path to heaven. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the people that are here this morning. We pray, God, for those that could not come out to this morning to worship with us. We ask You, Lord, that You'll bless them, heal their bodies, and bring them back. We ask You, Lord, that You would take us this morning and help us to realize that You are truth, that You are the true light, You are the true bread of heaven that's came down to save us, to nourish us, to fill us, and to give us peace in this life. Help us to see that. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.